Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book and our radio show. I thought I'd open up the show with some jihad definitions from the Holy Quran. This is Surah 9.5. And when the sacred months are past, kill those who join other gods with God, wherever ye shall find them, and seize them, besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. But if they shall convert and observe prayer and pay the obligatory alms, then let them go their way, for God is gracious and merciful. And the only thing I have to disagree with is that the same people who call on the merciful God show no mercy, not even to their own. Here's Surah 9:30. Make war upon such of those to whom the scriptures have been given as believe not in God, or in the last day, or who forbid not that which God and his apostle have forbidden, and who profess not of the profession of the truth, until they pay tribute out of hand, and they be humbled. The Jews say Ezra is the son of God, and the Christians say the Messiah is the son of God. Such the sayings in their mouths. They resemble the saying of the infidels of old. God do battle with them. How are they misguided? They take their teachers and their monks and the Messiah, son of Mary, for lords besides God, though bidden to worship one God only. There is no God but He. Far from His glory be what they associate with Him. Fain would they put out God's light with their mouths, but God only desireth to perfect His light, albeit the infidels abhor it. He it is who hath sent His apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it victorious over every other religion, albeit those who assign partners to God be averse from it. Yes, and there you go. And never forget, imams get 20% of all booty taken in conquest. And any Muslim who doesn't follow the rules of the religion is declared an apostate, and it's open season on him. Just ask Salman Rushdie. So what do you think is in my communist rag? I come from a conservative borough. There are more patriots in my borough than in most cities in the USA. There are more flags in my town than anywhere else in the USA. There's more patriotism. We use patriotism here. But you know what? We got a communist newspaper that force feeds us communist crap every day. So what do you think the big headline is in my communist rag? You ready for this? It's only a third of a page. Two-thirds of the page is a clarion call to keep the dream alive. They're trying to save a movie theater. This is the big centerpiece. On the right, on one-third of the front page, here is the big headline. Cops nab car bomb suspect. And what do you think they have a picture of? Guess which terrorist that they're showing. They're showing the Attorney General. They got a picture of Alger Hiss. Yeah, when you see him hiss. Unbelievable. Can you believe that? Eric Holder, the Alger Hiss of the Obama administration. Unbelievable. And then they have a little subtitle. It says, police say Pakistani American brought SUV rigged to explode Saturday night in Times Square. Yeah, you know what? There would have been a lot of Americans that wouldn't be Saturday Night Live. But you know what? I don't worry about the one they caught. I worry about all the instant citizens that have materialized since 9/11 that have Muslim names that are now American citizens with Muslim names. That's who I worry about. And if you don't like it, you can sing When Irish Eyes Are Profiling. When Israel went into Lebanon, the screaming media was, Israel invades Lebanon, 10,000 Americans trapped in Beirut. And then they showed the 10,000 Americans, and they were all wearing burqas. You better start checking. If you're going to make Muslims citizens, you better start posting their names and addresses. We want to know which Muslims are becoming instant citizens, getting express check-in. And it is profiling, because we know where the terrorists are coming from. Allahu Akbar is not Gaelic. And they always say it before the bomb goes off, or they cut somebody's head off. And for that young Lebanese American high school student who cried on 911 saying, I'm sorry, honey, you did nothing wrong. This song is dedicated for you. This mayor Bloomingdale has got to resign. He is not going to protect New York City. Do you realize that during World War II, Fiorello LaGuardia had 50 caliber machine guns on rooftops to protect the citizens of New York. This mayor Bloomingdale couldn't even be found. He was somewhere else when this happened. The police commissioner had to take his place. And then the first thing he did, he holds a press conference and he threatens all the white people. This man is not a mayor of New York. He is not fit to be mayor of New York. All he is a billionaire who bought the city council. He owns the city council. They work for him. He bought them. His first act in office was to build a high school for homosexuals because they're being picked on. By who? By make-believe stories in the media? He opened up a high school and dedicated it to a mayor of San Francisco who got shot by a cop. Unbelievable. This is his first act of office. When the Staten Island ferry crashed into the dock, he blamed it on an act of God, the same mayor that won't let it crash into school. Yeah, but when it comes time to having to shell out money, it's God's fault. This mayor has to resign. He is not for the people of New York. He is going to serve us up. He's going to give us 911 Part 3. This man has to go. When Rudy Giuliani was cleaning up New York City the second time, and somebody said he should be given a third term to complete his mission, the man who protested the most was Mayor Bloomingdale. And now Mayor Bloomingdale changed the law after he bought the city council, and now he's qualified for a third term. You know what? He should change his name from mayor to Pasha. Bloomingdale, hang it up. You'll be the first one over the bridge when we get nuked. You'll be shouting from the limo, get out of the way. We don't want to see you on your bicycle anymore. And stop fooling us with that phony subway ride. He's a commuter with 13 bodyguards. Show me somebody else who's a commuter with 13 bodyguards. My blog today was terrorism is a religion and no amnesty for the House and the Senate. They all got to go. You got to fire everybody. You got to turn your country. You know what? It's like land. You know, the land is not yielding the crop that it was designed to yield. It's not producing. You've got to turn it over. And that's what you got to do in the House and the Senate. You got to turn it over. You got to get rid of everybody that's been there before. You've got to get rid of all these lobby-owned politicians. You got to put an end to lobbies. The only lobby should be in a hotel. You got to put an end to special interests. One man, one vote. Every American, his vote has to count. And nobody should own any politician. The people own the politicians, and that's it. So, having said that, let's return to White Wedding. Did anybody find out how that Navy SEAL who stood alone in face of the power and might of the United States corrupt Pentagon? Has anybody said how that Navy SEAL made out today as he stood up on his own two American feet defending freedom? And he was charged with patriotism. That's what he was really charged with. He was charged with defending his nation. Has anybody found out what the result of his court-martial was today? I hope it was dismissed. And if it wasn't, it should be the straw that breaks the camel's back, and we should punish everybody involved. I'm tired of seeing one Navy SEAL being charged with the crime. I'm tired of seeing people like Lieutenant Bahena being charged with a crime, and nobody lists the names of everybody who brought the charges and everybody who colluded in that crucifixion. I want to know all the way up the ladder who signed off on those executions, and that's what they were. Those were psychological executions performed against patriots, and that was their crime. They should have been charged with the real crime of patriotism. And you hear Savage? You hear Savage in the background? He's talking about white male, white male, white male. Hey, there's trouble coming. There's trouble in River City. Uh-oh, I'm getting a patriotic flashback. Nathan Hale, Deja Vu. And I happen to notice that Nathan Hale, you never hear him mentioned in schools anymore, I don't think. I never heard anybody talk about Nathan Hale. They never made a movie about Nathan Hale. There's not a song from Nathan Hale. Yet Nathan Hale, as a young man, gave up his life for freedom. The freedom that you enjoy, he paid your dues. He paid my dues. And I just wanted to give you a heads up on who he was, where he came from, and how he ended up. There's an Irish song called The Crappie Boy. The Crappie Boy was a young rebel who was captured by Lord Cornwallis in Ireland, was taken to the gallows and strung up. And the Irish, to honor him, wrote a song about him. And that song you're going to hear. But when you listen to the song, The Crappie Boy, you think of Nathan Hale, because Nathan Hale was the crappie boy of his time. And the same general that hung the Irish crappie boy hung Nathan Hale. So we were fortunate enough to win our war for freedom, and the Irish didn't win it until the 1900s. So I want you to remember that, and someday when you're in school and you hear some communist professor telling you that America is no good, you just think about Nathan Hale. So here's the story. Once upon a short time, there was an American Revolution, which you don't know too much about today. And that's being deliberately withheld from you, because the Communist Party of the United States is waiting till the last World War II veteran is dead, and then they're going to rewrite history, and they're going to poison your mind. You might as well have a little drain plug in your brain, because they're going to open it up and they're going to fill it with garbage. And just remember, never forget, that you are an American and you have roots. And your roots are embedded in a strong tree, and the tree is liberty. And don't let them fragmentize us, and don't let them divide us, and don't let them play one against the other. Don't let them play black against white. Don't let them play Latino against black or white. Don't let them play Chinese against Puerto Ricans. Don't let them divide us, because that's their game. Their game is to divide us and enslave us. And as long as we're united, we'll survive. And the day we are no longer united in language, culture, and God, we're in trouble. We will fall like the rest of the nations before us. So once upon a time, there was an American Revolution. A mild-mannered patriot born in Connecticut, now the home of two flag-burning senators, decided to join the rebels. His name was Nathan Hale. He was captured and gave his name and rank and mission purpose. He was sentenced to be hanged and denied the comfort of a Bible. You see how it begins? They take your prayer book away first. And he was marched uptown New York, now the home of two more flag-burning senators. Early the next day, he was led to his death. His body hanging from a tree for some days for all to see. His words are famous. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. How's that? You're 21 years old. You come from money. Okay, he wasn't a poor man. He was well educated. He was going to be a minister. And he gives it all up at 21. He gives up everything for his country. For the country he can't even see yet. It hasn't been born yet. All he knows is it's a good cause, and he's willing to die for it. You could look high and low today. There's few Nathan Hales. Most of them are in Iraq right now, keeping us from being murdered. And they're also 21-year-olds and 19-year-olds. So here's the story as written by an English officer. Early the next day, he was led to his death. On the morning of the execution, said Captain Montresor, an English officer, my station being near the fatal spot, I requested the provost marshal to permit the prisoner to sit in my marquee while he was making the necessary preparations. Necessary preparations was throwing a rope over the tree. Captain Hale entered. He asked for writing materials, which I furnished him. He wrote two letters, one to his mother and one to a brother officer. The provost marshal destroyed the letters and assigned a reason that the rebels should not know they had a man in their army who could die with so much firmness. Hale asked for a Bible, but his request was denied. He was marched out by a guard and hanged upon an apple tree in Rutgers Orchard. The place was near the present intersection of East Broadway and Market Streets. Cunningham asked him to make his dying speech in confession, and he said these words, I only regret, he said, that I have but one life to lose for my country. There's a little history. He was born in 1755 and he died in 1776. In early July, Nathan received a heartfelt letter from one of his best friends and fellow classmate, Benjamin Talmadge. Always the pragmatist, Talmadge had gone to Cambridge, Massachusetts, to see the siege for himself. That's probably the siege of Boston. Talmadge would later become famous as a Revolutionary War soldier, spy master, businessman, and a U.S. congressman. Now, do you think Talmadge would vote to burn his flag? Do you think if that in 1776 Talmadge was even thinking about calling American flag burning freedom of speech? He was fighting for freedom of speech. He was fighting a freedom of speech so he could be betrayed 200 years later by the Democrats. Talmadge finally told Nathan Hale that in spite of his friend's commitment to teaching, the guy wanted to be a teacher. You know what the teachers are teaching in school today? They're teaching you hate your country. And here's a teacher who died for his country. Was I in your condition, I think the more extensive service would be my choice. Our holy religion, the honor of our God, a glorious country, and a happy constitution is what we have to defend. Who talks like this today? No one. We're surrounded by quislings and rats. We're surrounded by presidents and vice presidents who go to Saudi Arabia and go to Dubai and denounce the country that elected them and spit on the people who elected them for money. The only thing they haven't done is shown up at the crucifixion and cast lots for the cloak of the Almighty. I'm going to repeat it. Was I in your condition? Because his friend had a commitment to teaching. I think the more extensive service would be my choice. Our holy religion, the honor of our God, a glorious country and a happy constitution is what we have to defend. Then it goes on to tell a little story, and it says intelligence information was found on Hale's person, and he freely admitted his identity. He didn't lie, he didn't deny, he didn't call for a committee to investigate, he didn't spin. He said, I am who I am, and the purpose of his mission. Rumors later flew that Hale had been betrayed, or perhaps only identified by his first cousin, Samuel Hale. In the song you're going to hear about the crappy boy, he was also betrayed by a cousin. Isn't that ironic? Two both died for freedom at the hands of the same conqueror, and two were betrayed by a cousin. And that's not a coincidence. That's fate. Samuel Hale, who was a Tory working for General Howe. Samuel later denied it, and his role in the affair, if any, has long been debated but never proven. A tradition says that Nathan spent the night confined in a greenhouse on the estate, and that he was denied a minister or even a Bible by the provost marshal. And it also looks like, in my doing the little research I did on this, it looks like they never found his body. Some say he's buried in Grand Central Station. He died at 21, surrounded by his enemies, in 1776. No poem like Paul Revere, no song to pass on in 1790. No song to pass on. In 1798, a young Irishman suffered a similar fate in a failed revolution. He was hanged by the same general who surrendered to Washington in 1781 at Yorktown. The Irish remember his tragic bravery in song, and now we share it with Nathan Hale, and it's called The Crappie Boy. And I wrote English American words to that song, and if I find them, I'll sing them for you. If I can find them, I'm still looking for them, but I got them somewhere. So here's the crappie boy in honor of Nathan Hale. And just change the country. It's the same song. It's the same spirit. It's the same fighting spirit. It's the same love of God and country.
Was early small birds whistled and it sweetly sang, changing their notes from tree to tree, and the song they sang was Old Ireland Free. 'Twas early, early on Tuesday night, the yeoman cavalry gave me a fright. To my misfortune and sad downfall, I was taken prisoner by Lord Cornwall. I bear no hate against living things, but I love my country above the king. I alone am left of my native race. I will go to Wexford and take their place. When I was marching o'er Wexford Hill, oh, who could blame me for to cry my fill? I looked behind and I looked before, but my gentle mother I could see no more. When I was mounted on the gallows high, my aged father, he was standing by. My aged father did me deny, and the name he gave me was the Crappy Boy. 'Twas in Old Ireland this young man died, and in Old Ireland his body lies. All you
never forget 911. When you look at the skyline of New York City, just remember that Muslim terrorists bombed us back to 1938. In 1 year, the Empire State Building was built by stronger hands. 9 years later, we still have a hole in the ground and a mayor who threatens white men. Mayor Quisling. Every time you turn around, all he's doing is begging for money from Washington. This guy's an embarrassment. He really is. He is terrible. Mayor Barabbas. He's unbelievable. What a disgrace. The Staten Island ferry crash was an act of God, so we don't have to pay off. Yeah. Yeah, his favorite dance is the un-American crash dance. Yeah, unbelievable. And to think he had the audacity to do an exploratory to see if he could be president. I'd vote for OJ before I'd vote for him. I don't need a mayor that only takes a dollar for a salary, because I know he's making it up somewhere. And once again, let me remind you, and no more terms for termites. We got to get rid of them all in the fall. If you want your country back, you're going to have to pay for it. You're not getting off scot-free. You got to till the soil. You got to turn over the sod. You got to empty out the House and the Senate. No more terms for termites. Everybody gets fired. That's the only message to send. Everybody gets fired. And then you can get rid of all those lawyers that the deck is stacked with. They're not lawyers. They're jailers with no keys. And all you so-called liberals, which is really just a code name for communists, when you get ready to hand over this country to the communists, and never forget what happens to liberals who pretend that they're liberals. Everybody with glasses will be marched into the woods and shot. All teachers will be marched into the woods and shot. All actors and actresses will be bludgeoned to death. And that's what Pol Pot did. And that's what the communists do. That's what Mao did. And if Stalin had been left to be alive in 1953, he would have made Hitler look like a pica. But fortunately, God gave him a stroke. And never forget, you got 48 senators who voted to let the flag burn 40 days before 9/11. You got 135 Viet Congress mice who used to smoke weed and protest the war and fly the Vietnamese flag. And they also voted to let the American flag burn. And you want some names? They're in my book. It's called Flag Burners of Record. I can give you Republican names, too, but you don't want to hear that. You don't want to face reality. You think that everybody's going to get a chocolate pudding, but what we're really going to get is brown toothpaste. You got a president and his wife who hate this country. Yeah, they're covering it up right now. They haven't drawn the swords yet. You'll find out. You'll find out. They're going to make Julius Caesar look like he just got stabbed by one person. And this is the Clinton dynasty part two. And you got Hillary that gave away the nuke count to the Russians. Do you know what the difference between Ethel and Julius Rosenberg and Hillary Clinton is? Ethel and Julius are dead. And I think Hillary stole old Sparky from Sing Sing prison when she left the White House. She counted it as library furniture. Her kids should be on Survivor. Now she wants everybody to pay for Chelsea's wedding. Yeah, she wants donations for Chelsea's wedding. Isn't she great? She's another Mother Teresa. She'll be on the stamp next. They caught Hillary in New York screwing the poor, and she was coming out of a fancy restaurant and a bag person was, a guy that sleeps in a bag, a homeless person. He went up to her and asked her for a donation. You know what she gave him? A campaign brochure. Said, here, eat this. Yeah, she's the Mother Teresa of New York City. New York is the doormat state. It's the only state where you can come from anywhere and you can become a mayor, you can become a president, you can become a secretary. What is she, Secretary of the Navy now? Has she taken that post over too? And then you got Napolitano, who says everything's okay? Yeah. You know what? The only thing the Democrats can do, they should get a Hollywood Award for playing the Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears. George Bush, the elder, went to Kuwait and liberated it. And we only had 28 casualties. And George, the elder, told the mothers of America, I'm going to bring your sons home safely. And that's what he did. He kept his promise. And as soon as he liberated Kuwait, the communists said he didn't go far enough. He should have went to Iraq. And then his junior comes along and goes to Iraq, and they say he went too far. So the Democrats should all be starring in the Goldilocks bedtime story with the Three Little Bears, and one says, my porridge is too hot. And then Chuck Schumer says, my porridge is too cold. Bartender, can you play me a tune that millions of Americans have died to preserve? And you better get back to church and pray to God for your country before they close the church also. That's coming next. They just got Billy Graham.
Oh.
we'll go to music. And think about this. During Vietnam, 1,400 American fighter pilots walked off the job because they felt their hands were being tied, and they went back to commercial aviation. And that's what the goal of the communists is, to destroy our military. And the only way you can overcompensate for it is do what Georgie Patton said. We always need a civilian and military. We need the draft. Everybody has to serve his country. Everybody has to have skin in the game. And nice show tonight, Glenn Beck. Fantastic. You had all those legal immigrants there. They're more American than half the Americans walking around, all the 9-10 New Yorkers that are approving the building plans for mosques. He'd be the first one over the George Washington Bridge in his limo, shouting, "Get out of the way." Yeah, unbelievable. The only good news today, and it shouldn't even be news because it never should have happened, is a Navy SEAL was acquitted, and he was convicted of the charge of patriotism. He was sold out by his own government, his own military. He was betrayed. He was given the Pontius Pilate treatment. One Navy SEAL. And every American should hang his head in shame that they allowed that to happen. And that we don't know who brought that to bear. And we don't have the names and the backgrounds of all the Quislings who betrayed him. They should be put up against the wall and shot. They are a greater threat than a million Al-Qaeda planes.
Is a dedication to the boys in Afghanistan.
Look homeward, angel. Tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel. Find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love we used to share? No, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her?
And the boys in Iraq. for all the Democrats and Republicans that are going to get fired in November.
Welcome back. Forgive me for being harsh, but I want reality to set in. Set in hard. Pick a country, any country. You lost your country and you're never getting it back. So pick a country, any country. The vulnerable USA can no longer defend itself. A loser nation that suffered the greatest military defeat in American history on 9/11. The time has come to deport any person holding two passports. Pick a country and give up all other passports. We are witnessing the successful penetration of the American nation by a birthing a fifth column led by a president with no papers, a major constitutional violation, which leaves this American imposter no alternative but to either show proof or resign. I'm tired of being waltzed around by the communist media. Everyone who abetted this hoax must serve time in prison, no exceptions. The Attorney General must stop representing terrorists and step down. All charges against military heroes must be withdrawn, and they must be compensated for their heartache with promotions. Ramos and Campion must be paid $1 million each for defending their border above and beyond the call of duty, and they defended it with their home mortgages. So they committed their property, their lives, and their sacred honor to defending the American border. And as a reward, George Bush threw them to the wolves, to the coyotes. Real Americans, not burqa babies, must face reality and admit this country is in a deeply religious war. Terrorism is a religion. Where only one side knows they must kill all infidels and apostates in the service of their God. The American side refuses to believe what every Muslim knows and has memorized since childbirth. Jihad is holy war, blessed by God. If you are not Muslim, you must die. If you protest the war effort as a Muslim, you too must die, because you are an apostate. Until we realize the holder of two or more passports have no loyalty to some country, they must be made to choose. In other times, there was no question because the draft settled all doubts. Cowards and traitors left town rather than salute the flag that 48 senators voted to let burn. But today they fly the American flag while concealing their favorite flag, fooling people to believe they love what they hate. The people of Arizona are under siege in their own land, and those Arizona demonstrations, you don't see a Mexican flag. But if you went, go back 1 year, those same people were flying only Mexican flags. But you see, they've been coached well by the communists. The draft settled all doubts. Cowards and traitors left town rather than salute the flag that 48 senators voted to let burn. The people of Arizona are under siege in their own land. Cops are abused, upholding the law of the land they love. GIs are charged by terrorists and put in POW compounds by the ACLU. This organization should be ripped wide open, exposed for the cancer that it is, and the cancer should be chemotherapied. The communist divide and conquer tactic works every time. Caution people of color, don't buy the brown toothpaste. The problem is not with the Americanos. The problem is with the narco coyotes. Arizona needs a secure border, as does your casa need a fence, and a door needs a lock. Fences make for good neighbors, so says Ben Franklin. Those who want to destroy this country need to have ghettos, need to have barrios and racial friction. Do not play follow the loser. Play I want to lead my life my way. Do not let anyone play the race card on you. Every nation has its bad guys. Didn't Jesus have a friend who betrayed him? Build your world without chains. When Obama said, some poor Latino out buying ice cream gets arrested for not having papers, you know better. What cop is going to take down a father buying his son ice cream? Obama just played the Gates card again. If that same father is using his son to disarm the cops while he is delivering cocaine direct from Monterey, he deserves to be deported as an illegal for putting his son in harm's way. and putting my son in harm's way. If one border guard is overwhelmed by bales of marijuana and 117 illegals, five of whom have Russian-made AK-47s, we have a giant problem on our unsecured border. What border guard of Mexican descent can tell the difference between an Arab from Spanish Morocco carrying anthrax and one Mexican carrying cocaine? One sniff and everybody dies. How many Mexicans never made it to the USA trusting fellow Mexicans? The moral of the story is do it the right way and mi casa es su casa. And do it the wrong way and vaya con Dios. Here is a 911 flashback. I'm going to change the subject. I was at Windows of the World with a Kuwaiti friend and we told the waiter it was his birthday. All the waiters and busboys sang happy birthday to him. He told me it was the happiest day of his life. He was a young man. 2 years later, all the waiters and busboys were dead. All good people who never hurt anybody. I am sure some were illegals, but on that day, they became and died American. I wonder what my friend thought as those buildings came down as he sat in Kuwait watching CNN. I am sure he did not shout Allahu Akbar. Don't let the dividers make you outsiders. 14 Americans named Garcia died in Iraq for their country, the United States. The Marines are made of Latinos, a pluribus unum and semper fi, baby. One from many. As Ben Franklin said, if we don't hang together, surely we will all hang separately. Remember the Texicanos at the Alamo. Many years ago, the crew of the USS Vincennes shot down an Iranian passenger jet flying over an aircraft carrier, which now they can't do because the White House has told them, don't shoot back unless you get the order right from the president. And you better hope he's not out golfing. The communist media, or he's in Hawaii getting a bath. The communist media screamed outrage when the Vincennes shot down that Iranian passenger jet. On 9-1-1, I longed to see the USS Vincennes docked at the New York home port that Chuck Schumer closed. The Vincennes probably stopped at the first 9-1-1 attack. We sure could have used that spirit of the Vincennes on 9-1-1. Pray for your country because you lost it and you will never get it back unless you have a don't tread on me broom flag. No more terms for termites. Get rid of them all in the fall.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. Your baby won't be near you anymore. Tender nights before they fly, and falling stars that seem to cry. Over.